Welcome to the Wager Makers Podcast with Webb and Schmidt.
Brick by brick, baby. I'm freaking out, Webb.
I'm sure there'd be no man. Duke Kennedy is going to be an asset.
What a bunch of crybabies.
Hello, my name is Steve Smith, and this is Rob Weber. Say hey, Webb.
What's up, Smith?
Hello, hello.
I'm Smith, that's Webb, and we are the Wager Makers, and this is the Wager Maker Podcast. Thank you for joining us. This is Wager Maker Podcast number 12. We're moving right along.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, we're moving right along. We had a big, huge weekend of college and pro football this past week. We were wondering back and forth whether it'd be best to have a one show or have two shows, and we got a lot of feedback from people out there on Facebook and stuff. And so with everything that happened this week in college and pro football, we thought it'd be best to do a recap show, and then we'll have another show come out in a couple days that will look into next weekend's game. So tonight we'll recap all the stuff that happened in the NFL this week, and next maybe Thursday night I think we'll have one that has all our picks for the upcoming week. Tonight we'll get into the college games on Thursday and Friday night, and the NFL game on Thursday night as well. So Webb, how's it going, buddy?
Pretty good, man. How are you?
Oh, good, good. We're just,
what's the temperature down in New Orleans with Drew Brees, man? How's everybody doing? Going to see a lot of referee outfits again for the next month, probably too, right? Maybe a couple doctor's coats.
Oh man, it's tough, man. Dude, listen, I've been tough on my Saints fans. I've been tough on the Saints fans. We're not going to kick them when we're down. You can kick. You can kick all you want. The Dallas Cowboys are looking good. I'm telling you, Saints fans, we're all in the same boat here. I've been tough on the Saints fans. We've gone through the gambit of emotions in the last 2 days. I'm glad we took a day to relax. I think Drew Brees is supposed to get his thumb repaired tomorrow in Los Angeles. He's got a torn ligament in his thumb. It's called skier's thumb or something like that. It's something to do with when skiers go down, they're holding onto the poles or something. Yeah, we started out the season with frostbite in the feet, and now we got skier's thumb.
Skier's thumb, all right.
On our quarterback. So, like I said, the Saints fans are reeling right now. For 13 years, I think Drew Brees has only missed one game due to injury. The other games he's missed has been because they've either clinched or done something like that. So, man, it's tough. It's tough right now. It's tough. We've been sad. We've been mad. The Saints fans are lost right now, Webb. We're lost.
Well, we're reeling back.
Some are suicidal. We're suicidal.
I believe it.
The gamut of emotions.
Yeah. Well, what are they saying? 6 weeks, right? I guess.
6 weeks. 6 weeks.
So is that going to be? Is there a bye in there or no?
There's a bye in there. So what they're looking at schedule wise for the Saints right now, they're looking for him to come back. For the Falcons game, which is about 8 weeks from now. So they have they play on the road to the Seahawks, which is going to be a tough game. Obviously at home, that Sunday nighter against the Cowboys, obviously going to be a tough game. They play in the division to the Buccaneers at home. They go on the road to the Jags. They go on the road to the Bears. They play at home against the Cards, and then they have their bye. That's 6 games, and then they have a bye, and then they play the Falcons at home. I think that's where they're looking for Brees to come back.
All right, so what are we, 1-1 right now? You got to win at least 3 games there. That game against the Bucs is a must, right? That's home. You said on the road at Jacksonville, that's another must. And there was another one in there I think you can get too. So
yeah,
you got
the Cards. They've got the Cards
at
home.
That's the other one. There you go. So that's 3. And then you never know. So you can certainly, if you get to 4 wins, you're fine. You're right there. And then if he comes back, you beat Atlanta, and you're doing okay.
This division is not very tough. I think we've seen, the Falcons pulled off a win Sunday night, but didn't look real impressive most of the time.
Nope.
We watched Carolina and Tampa Thursday night,
Carolina
and that looked
sucks.
Like two awful, awful teams. So I don't see the Saints having any issues. You know, to me, I would love to see them go 3-3 over the 6-game stretch. Even if they go 2-4, the Saints are not out of anything. But I don't think anybody else is going to run away this division other than a healthy Saints team. So I think as long as you're around 500 at that 10-game mark, you still got a chance to get in there and get a wild card, whatever. Maybe you have the healthy Drew Brees coming back towards the end of the season. And once you get the playoffs start, anything can happen. So,
and again, yeah, you'll have a couple wins in the division too, so you'll still be okay, I think, especially if like you said, even the 2 wins, you should get 3. I think I'm comfortable with that. On Jacksonville, I know what's going on down there, especially what's going on with Jalen Ramsey. He'll probably be gone by then, so that may help you.
Yeah, and that's gonna be a big game. That we'll have a pick for that Thursday night game coming up in a little while. The Saints, man, it's tough. I've been tough on the Saints. Sean Payton, he just signed an extension right before the game came out, that he signed an extension. It's time for him to coach him up.
Earn that money.
Coach them up.
Did you see anything? Did you say how much? I didn't see any. I saw the extension. There was no – I didn't see any money attached to it.
I don't think they disclosed any specifics about it yet at the time I've seen. So you got Taysom Hill back there. You got Teddy Bridgewater. Bridgewater's the number two. A lot of Saints fans down here are yelling for Taysom to get in that game. But I think, in my opinion, what they're probably going to do is give Bridgewater one or two games with full weeks of practice, full game plan, full weeks of practice. Get Bridgewater in the game and see how he looks in the first two games. Even if they go 0-2 in those two games, if he just doesn't look like a deer in headlights, or if doesn't, you know, he didn't look real good last week, but that happens to a lot of backup quarterbacks coming off the bench, especially the Rams have a really good front four and that defense, man. Bridgewater took some shots, but some of that's from holding on the ball too long. And, you know, the young hotshot kid, Taysom Hill, I thought it was funny. Troy Aikman on the broadcast the other day said how much Sean Payton always talks about him being exactly like Steve Young, really reminds him of Steve Young, a right-handed Steve Young. And Troy Aikman said, well, I'll tell you what, if Sean Payton thinks he has Steve Young in the locker room, he might want to put him out there. So I thought that was a
– Yeah, that's a good – that's
right.
His,
you can say a guy reminds you of somebody all day long. Yeah, right, right. Yeah. So
maybe he looks like him.
Right. So, like I said, Saints fans are reeling, and we're having a tough time. But I'm telling you, Saints fans, I'm here. I'm with you. We're gonna regroup. I know I gave. I gotta tell you what. So I last week's show, I said some shit about, you know, the Saints fans in the referee uniforms, and the Saints fans were messing up the song, the weed at, the who dat, and the weed at, and stuff like that. And so you said, man, you got a lot of problems there in the dome. I said, yeah, I got 99 problems, and the bitch ain't one. So what's that? What's that? Is that from a song or something?
I think Jay-Z, it's from. Jay-Z, man, come
all
on,
right,
brother.
All right. Well, that's it's not something I would usually say, but it just came out. You get the microphone, you get the headphones, just some shit comes out.
You're going to start beatboxing too?
So Sharon heard this, and I don't think she understood what it meant, you know? Uh-oh. So she goes to the games with me. She's a sport. It's not very easy to go to the games with me because I get kind of hyped up. I'm not there painting my face or nothing like that, but I'm intense. I'm intense for the game. I like to concentrate.
I've been there.
Yeah. So I say, I got 99 problems and the bitch ain't one. She's like, well, what's that mean? I'm a bitch? And I'm like, no, you're not a bitch. I got 99 problems.
All right.
And the bitch ain't one. Like, you're not the one. I got all these other. I got the guys saying the weed at. I got these guys saying the weed at. Who that weed at? I got these guys in the referee uniforms. And then, but my bitch, she's not a problem. It's not a problem. Man, she's a sport. She goes to the game. She gets hyped up. But then she's – so I'm a bitch, right? So I'm the bitch. So I'm like,
no. I believe the lyric is I got 99 problems and the bitch ain't one, I believe, is the actual lyric.
Right. So I said, no, you're not a bitch. You're the bitch. Like, you're my bitch. That's not – it's different than saying you're a bitch. You know, so that went on for a little while. So, but it worked out. Look, she's a sport. She's one of the Saints fans. All the Saints fans have been so hyped up this week about this game, and a lot of them, man, they gave up on football last year when that Rams game messed up, and then sure enough, the referees dropped another ball on the Saints this week.
It did.
You know, I've always been the no conspiracy theory that conspiracy is ridiculous, and I still think that. But damn, man, this shit's starting to happen to the Saints. Man, over and over again.
Yeah, I mean, I hear you, but there's no conspiracy. I can tell you. There's no conspiracy. There's no Area 51. There's no aliens. Don't worry about it. You'll be fine. Six weeks, you'll be all right.
Man, I don't know. The Saints fans are so tough. Let me tell you, like, the Saints fans, like, so the Saints fans and the LSU fans, they're kind of a crossover. You know, there's a big crossover between the two. So LSU's playing Northwestern State this week, and I guess they didn't jump out to a 40-point lead. Like, I guess these fans didn't. Thought they were going to jump out to a 40-point lead. They're coming off the Texas win last week. Everybody's high and mighty, but man, they don't understand sometimes. This is like LSU is going to kick this team's ass.
Right.
Right.
In their sleep, they're going to beat them by 30, but you don't got to. It doesn't matter.
So after the first quarter, though, Northwestern State's up 7-3, and at halftime, LSU had a 10-point lead. I believe it was 24-14. Man, on Facebook, Twitter, LSU fans are going crazy. What the hell is going on with this LSU team? What's happened? What's going on? Like, and these aren't even people. They're not even betting on the game. Like, I could see if you had LSU minus the 30.
You're concerned about the 30.
Right. If you had LSU minus the 30, then you're pissed off. I get that. Right. But I don't even know why you watch this game. And I liked LSU. I like to see them do good. It's Northwestern State. Come on. The final score, Webb, was 65-14. 65. They covered anyway.
Right.
But if you want to wear your purple and gold for every game, even the Northwestern State game, and have a cookout and drink a few beers, that's food. That's cool. Chill out. Relax. No, there's a couple. There's
right.
four in this conference. There's four or five games a year that LSU is really going to have to show up and really play for. You know, now they go into Vandy this week, and that'll be a little tougher than Northwestern State, but they still should throw their helmets out on the field to be able to come out with a win.
No doubt. If
you're worried about the point spread, that's a different story.
But if
you're worried about LSU and you're LSU fan, I love you guys, but damn, just relax a little. Sometimes relax.
They're getting out of there with a pretty fairly easy victory. Again, they may not – I'm not sure what the number is. They may not cover, but you will win that game by a couple of touchdowns. Nothing to worry about. I can assure all LSU fans out there not to worry.
All right. So real quick, let's just run down. Just want to thank you all for listening. Again, iHeartRadio, YouTube, Google Play Music, Podbean, Apple, Spotify, Stitcher. Want to thank everybody. We have some people in Canada. And actually, we were just in one section of Canada. Now we got some listeners in Ontario and Quebec. We got Australia listeners, New South Wales, all over the U.S. Almost every state is represented. Want to thank some of the people over there. It's funny, Web, on the website, man. We got all kinds of people bantering and stuff like that. And I want to thank especially Chad Arnold and Nick Perrone. They let us know that we had a little bit of technical issue last week with the stuff coming out of each year. Both of them let us know about that issue, and we'll be trying to fix that this week. Also, we got some people on Facebook. Want to thank G Money, Chris Garjul for the hats he gave us. I got a hat coming out that he got made. We had some funny stuff on Facebook this week. Carly Ringer, she's up there from New Jersey, but she's a Saints fan, so she was all into, you know, hopefully Saints can pull together and all that kind of stuff. And she's giving Paul Taylor all kinds of crap on air about how shitty the Jets are. So I thought that was great.
Man.
Yeah.
It's tough to be a Jet fan. Right? Well, I got plenty of buddies. Nick Perrone, Jet fan. A buddy Polish, too. Man, that's tough right there. Historical spread this week for both the Jets and the Dolphins.
Yeah, so. Crazy. Paul Taylor's catching all kinds of – even Paul Taylor said, you know, man, it's a tough week to be a Jets fan. I said, week? It's been like 20 years. Right. So, but, yeah, and I want to thank everybody. We got Corey Riley sent us a little Facebook message about a fantasy question he had. We'll get to that later on, too. But let's real quick, we'll look at the picks from last week and see how we did. So, Webb, overall, we went 7-4 in college and 5-6 in the NFL. We had some really close losses, but that's just the way it goes. We're not going to make excuses for that. So it was 12-10 total for the weekend. That's better than we've been doing. So we were above 500 this week.
Right.
So we'll take it. So, what games off the hand that we had last week did it really stood out for you that you have some things you want to take away from?
I mean, Ohio State looked real good, obviously. Texas still looks good. Colorado, I think, hurt us. I was surprised at that. I think the one thing maybe UCF, you call that one. They are absolutely for real. I think they're like 29-1 in their last 30 games since 2016 or 2017, which is crazy. I got to give myself a little pat. I told you Michigan State sucks. I told you. We can't stay away from them.
That was great. You know, I was kind of talking about them a little bit, and straight up you said, "Fuck Michigan State, fuck Michigan State." That was so we stayed away, and that was good. Arizona State came up with the big win there. Yeah, Air Force beat Colorado. Did you watch the end of the Texas game? We had two of our games. We had two of our games were on the Scott Van Pelt bad beat show last night. I saw, one of them we had the winner, and one of them we had the loser.
Yeah.
So. Texas was beating the crap out of Rice. I knew we were in trouble. They took their Eleanor out in the third quarter, and they were up 38-0. And we were laying, I believe we were laying 32. And
yep.
And the Texas quarterback just did nothing. So it was 38-0 for a while, 38-0 for a while. Finally, Rice gets a touchdown in the fourth quarter. Texas comes back, kicks a field goal for not really much of a reason, but they probably would have went for it if it was fourth and short, but I think the kid took a sack, and it was like fourth and 12 or something, and so they ended up kicking the field goal. And sure enough, Rice comes down again, kicks, gets another touchdown, and at that point, we're under a minute, and we're not covering a spread, so we're like, oh, shit, this sucks. We're just going to take a knee at this point.
Unbelievable, dude. Unbelievable.
Yep. Kid runs back to kick off for the touchdown. 30 seconds left, something like that, so we get the cover in Texas. That was a big one. That was one of the
yards.
That was one of the big ones on Scott Van Pelt, the bad beats. I like watching those because usually, shit, I'm on those. And then how about those Mormons? Mormons came up big against the Trojans.
Yeah. Won it outright. That was another good one.
Yep. So BYU was catching a few points, and we took them, and they won outright. Like you said, UCF, man, that was they dominate. And I think – People still are not really catching on them. They beat up somebody big last week, and then I think they're not favored by that much again this week coming up. Ohio State looked good. We were under in the Florida Kentucky, and that was a bad beat, and we were on the bad end of that. We had Kentucky missed a field goal late in the game that would have put us right on the number even. Yep. And then so right then we're like, okay, well, Florida just needs to make a first down or two. They take a knee, and that's it. Sure enough, it comes up third down and seven, and they run the end around, and the dude takes it to the house. Takes it to the damn house, and that put us over. But that was a decent pick. Also, Virginia, we cannot buy the point in this sports watch monitor. By the half a point.
Yeah,
you did say last week, if you listened to Webb last week, he said absolutely buy the half a point if you get a chance, and then we would have been on a push. Virginia won by 7. We were laying 7.5, but Webb did say make sure you buy the half a point. Oklahoma rolled. UCLA is terrible.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Terrible. I'm no Chip Kelly fan. They're embarrassing. I don't know what's going on. We should just put a countdown on the website where which team is Urban Meyer going to coach, UCLA or USC next year, because that is a
– right.
A foregone conclusion at this point. They're both – who's got the lower buyout or who's going to spend more money to get Urban Meyer there, because he's gone. Right. Both those coaches are gone.
And then the Friday night game, we had Houston +9. They hung on against Washington State. They have a big game coming up at Tulane this week. We'll be talking about them in a little bit.
Yep,
I was way off on the Boston College. I'll be the first one to admit. That was mostly about Kansas, like I said that night. Kansas
that
beat them outright.
You know. In our defense, Kansas sucks, and they, I don't know where 48 points. They won't score 48 points the rest of the year combined. I don't know where that came from.
I don't know what happened. Boston College within the first 4 minutes was up 10-0. I said, oh, this is going to be a laugh.
Oh yeah. Home. Yep.
And but I'll tell you this: there's this kid from New Orleans area, Puka Williams, and he's been all kinds of trouble. He was a 5-star recruit running back coming out of high school, and but that, obviously. You know you're in a lot of trouble if you're going to if you're a 5-star recruit coming out of Louisiana and you go to Kansas. There's a reason. And he was actually suspended for the first like game and a half against for Kansas this year. And once I saw him playing this week, I was like, oh shit, that might be a bad sign, because now he's back. And this kid is really good. He's a really good running back. He had a big game. Both running backs had a big game for Kansas, but man, they beat the crap out of Boston College. I did not see that one coming. So
yeah, they doubled up. Yeah, I don't think anybody really did. Like I said, they didn't score. I think they scored 7 points total in the first two games. So that's not the lesson learned on that one. That's all. This kid wasn't playing.
But we ended up 7-4 in college, so that's not too bad. So if we can do that every week, we'll move ourselves back up. We were 5-6 in the pros. Started out on Thursday night, just a garbage football game. Carolina. They came out today that I guess Cam is still pretty hurt and banged up, but they were laying 6.5. We took them. We also had the under. That was a good play.
Yep. We seem to be pretty – our unders were pretty tight on, actually. Might be our go-to. Worst bet of all.
Again, man, the under – once again, that Florida game proved the under is the most excruciating bet you could possibly make in your life, because it's never
in a ball
over.
For 3 hours.
Never over. Never over.
Right. Yep.
So – but not never over the total, just never. The bet is never ending.
Yep.
You got it, just like that Florida game. We had it won. Just take a knee. Take a knee.
So what do you see, Bubba? Fleepy Franks is out. So that dude, what's his name, Trask or something, came in. So that may turn out to be a good thing for Florida. I don't know if there's a worse 3-0 team in college football. I think they're ranked 9th. I still think they suck. Trask, I think, is a quarterback who came in. So I'm interested. Maybe set a little – fire underneath the offense for Florida. Can I see what they do?
Yeah, and I'll tell you, he came in, played pretty good. He was the one who really led the charge, led the comeback. Yep. I think when he came in, Kentucky was winning, if I'm not mistaken.
I think you're right. Yep.
So he did look really good. Sunday, we were way off on the Bengals. That was a dumb play.
That's well put. Well said.
San Francisco was good. Tennessee was kind of back and forth. Tennessee was laying 3. I think in the fourth quarter they were even up 4 points, if I'm not mistaken. The Steelers, we had a tough one there. Big Ben went out at halftime. The Steelers were up by 3 at the half when he went out.
Yep.
So Kansas City, we had Kansas City -7.5. They got down 10-0. I got a little nervous, but I was happy because we also had the over 53 in that. These two teams scored 38 points in the first half and scored 0 in the second half.
Yeah, it's tough to bet the game and the total in the same contest. It's not my favorite thing to do. It's always because you're betting, you got to win 2 bets almost on the same game, so that was tough. But the Chiefs -7, or what do we have, 7.5, was easy. That was an easy one.
Right. So to move on, did you see the ending of the Broncos game? What happened there?
I did not.
Okay. Let me explain. So we had the Broncos plus 2.5. That was a game. Just kind of crappy offense. I wouldn't say great defense. I would just say kind of crummy offense all game long. Up until the last drive of the game, I think Trubisky had about 90 yards passing. The Broncos were down by 7 late in the game. They go down, they score a touchdown. Okay, so the coach decides, look, man, we're gonna go for two. We're gonna go for two, go for the win. So they have a delay of game. It pushes them back. So they decide to kick the extra point, yep. Right? And by the way, Broncos, we're plus 2.5. Going for two is awesome for us because if they make it, we Broncos win by one, we win. If they miss it, the Broncos lose by one, we win. So the only thing that they can be a problem is if they kick the extra point. And yep. We go to overtime or something like that because 2.5, that's not going to help us out in overtime.
Nope.
So they go to kick the extra point. And he and McManus misses the extra point, okay? But there's a penalty on the Bears. There's a penalty on the Bears. So they redo the play. And then with the penalty, Denver decides to move the ball back up by the goal line and go for two again, okay? So then they go for two, and they get it. So they're winning. They're winning by a point. They're winning by a point. And then the Bears get the ball back, and they have to drive. They're down by, I guess, they're down by a point at that point.
Correct.
And they go down, they get into field goal range, they kick it, they kick a 50-some yarder and win the game. But there was a huge personal foul on Chubb on the Broncos on that final drive that was just an awful call. Awful call. Gave him 15 yards, gave him a first down, a whole bit. Just a good, solid NFL hit. It wasn't even – and I understand things are different now. I'm not trying to be old school and shit like that. It wasn't a hit to the head. It wasn't a hit that was late. It wasn't anything but a good, solid hit with the shoulder – into the guy's back. They called roughing the passer, and I think the Broncos really got screwed on that one. That was two bad offenses. So we'll see how that turns out.
Yeah, 16-14. Okay, and then dude still had to kick a 53-yarder to get it done.
Right. So, but I think Trubisky scored. I mean, he might have made one legitimate pass play in that game, and it was in the last drive after the personal foul. So anyway, and then we moved on. We talked about the Saints already. We had the Rams minus 2.5. That was a good play. I think even with or without Breeze, that was probably a solid bet. And then we went into Sunday night. We went into Sunday night looking to get back near the 50-50 point. Todd Lewis's Eagles let us down. I'm going to blame him every time we take the Eagles and they let us down.
Chris Gargiulo's Eagles.
Yeah, Chris Gargiulo. Oh, the whole Gargiulo clan. So that was, if you've seen that game, that was a tough game. The Eagles kind of had it towards the end. Then they I think it was a fourth and kind of long, they hit Julio Jones on the wide receiver's quick pass. Man, Matthews, the cousin of Clay Matthews,
four of them.
Man, he came running out. He just completely pile drive the cornerback in a great block on that play that unleashed.
Play
and then Julio Jones, they said Julio Jones reached, I forget what he said, 20 or 25 miles an hour. Going down the sideline. So and then the Eagles had a chance. They come back. They're going down the field. They hit Aguilar before they hit Aguilar to get it down within the 20 line. Aguilar was running wide open down the sideline. Carson Wentz hits him right in the hands and he just drops it. He would have been gone. Yep. He might still be running.
Yeah.
Might still be running. So then we relied on the Browns. That was a crappy game that night.
Ugly.
The Jets. Ugly. And they just said that Simeon's going to be out for quite a while too. So
out for the season. He's done. They're done.
Third string quarterback for the Jets. And what's with the dude? That's got mono, isn't it? Isn't that something you have when you're playing spin the bottle when you're a little kid or something? Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on there. And then NFL players got to be out for several weeks. With mono out and down, I don't understand.
He's not even in the. They can't even let him in the facility. I don't think. Yeah, he had to watch the game from home. He wasn't even there. He can't practice or anything. So I guess it's they don't want a mono outbreak.
Stop making out with the dudes in there.
That's right. Keep your tongue in your mouth.
So, I thought it was funny. They had a little thing with Odell Beckham Jr. and Williams, the defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Odell came out and said that this guy's real dirty. He kind of gets his players to hurt people and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, teaches them
I thought it was funny in the press conference though. One of the guys said, this guy's one of the most explosive players in the game, and he's asking Williams about that.
Yeah.
And he said, "Who is that? Your opinion?" He said, "No." He's like, "Well, why don't you ask the Giants if that's their opinion, if he's the most explosive player in the game." Well, sure enough, OBJ kind of had the last laugh in that. I thought it was funny what Williams said that day, but it wasn't so funny probably when – and you can see they showed Williams on the sideline when OBJ was running down. Oh, he was pissed.
Oh yeah, hell yeah! Well, the dude missed the tackle and he was gone.
He caught that slant pass or whatever.
Yep, 89 yards. They said he was actually at one point he was running 21 miles an hour, so he beat Julio.
Right. Right.
He didn't have his watch. He was timing himself with his watch.
Yeah, right. He's got his watch. Oh, Lord. These guys. And then this brings up, speaking of that, you know, Antonio Brown looked real good for the Patriots, yeah, obviously. Yeah. I mean, the guy's good. Of course he looked really good. But speaking of that, you got Jalen Ramsey. I guess we can go right into this Thursday night game and talk about it a little bit. You know, you got Jalen Ramsey blew up on the sideline at Coach Marone for the Jags. They had one of their linebackers got kicked out of the game in week one.
I kind of mentioned
earlier on in the season that I think this guy really lost this team last year in the locker room. And I don't know if it's happening again. I don't know if this is more of that. But also it's a little bit disturbing, I think, how Antonio Brown, I think he always wanted to be on the Patriots. So he kind of threw this whole tantrum and all this shit in the Raiders. And now it seems like Jalen Ramsey is trying to do the same thing.
I mean, we talked about it earlier today. This seems to be the way of the NFL. I mean, Zeke held out. He got his money. Obviously, I mean, for Antonio Brown to do this whole elaborate thing to get to New England, if he did that, he's crazy like a fox to do all this craziness. And it's funny, though. He's been there, I mean, not too long, maybe a week and a half, and you haven't seen one internet post or whatever, Instagram post or anything. It's funny how that he gets up to New England, everything, he goes radio silent on the social media. So that maybe it was all contrived, but I mean, he got what he wanted. Obviously Jalen Ramsey's kind of doing the same type thing. Who knows if it's going to play out the same way, but it seems to be. I agree with you. I don't want to try to be the old cranky guy, but that's kind of a disturbing trend. These guys, you know, just making assholes out of themselves to get traded wherever they want to go. So.
Right. It's going to turn into the NBA where
they're NBA-ish, right.
Try and just go to the team they want to go to, and that's that. And if they're not getting their way, they're just going to, you know, be detrimental to the team the whole time.
Yep.
It's kind of suck.
Yep.
So we had a fantasy football question from Corey Riley sent us today. He asked, he's got Kittle, the tight end from San Francisco, and I guess somebody's trying to trade him Freeman and Vance McDonald, the tight end for Atlanta. So you got any thoughts on that?
Well, my thoughts are just bet $50 on the Eagles or something just this weekend. But
we know you want to stay away from fantasy football, but wait, we're giving the fans what they want.
Yeah, I think Kittle is good. I would not trade him. I think I saw that Corey does need a running back. I'd take a look at the Eagles. Maybe I think his name is Sanders. They don't seem to be giving the ball to Howard too much. I think they probably want to establish more of a run, kind of get slow the game down a little bit maybe. And I think a couple of guys, Alshon Jeffrey, I think is going to be out. I'm not sure about Deshaun Jackson, I think might be out too, so that they may look to run the ball a little bit more. Maybe the Steelers running backs. Connor kind of had this shitty thing. I'm not sure if he'd be available. And then the other guy's name I think is Samuel. Maybe he's out there. And then the guy the Cowboys got, Tony Pollard, the rookie out of Memphis, he's going to get the ball. They're not afraid to give him the ball down near the goal line. He actually scored a touchdown that was called back this week. I'm sure he's probably available. And he catched the ball, too. So there's a couple ideas if he does need a running back. But I would keep Kittle. And Freeman hasn't looked good. And, I mean, I'm a fan, obviously fan. I think the Falcons can do some things. But Freeman hasn't looked good since he got hurt, which was a year and a half ago, I guess. So keep Kittle. Figure out the running back.
You know, I think Corey's guy is trying to take advantage of him a little bit. Vance McDonald had two touchdowns last week, and Kittle's been kind of not really litting it up the first 2 weeks of the season, but he's still one of the best tight ends in the game. So yeah, it's going to even itself out. And then you got McDonald's going to be playing with a rookie quarterback.
Agreed.
You know, at this point, or not, you know, a brand new quarterback at this point. Right. So there's just such a big question mark. If you really need a running back, Freeman, at least, you know, with Freeman, you're getting the major part of the workload for that team. And that's important in fantasy.
Right. He's going to get 20 something carries. Yep, for sure.
Right. Right. So there's our take on that. So what about so we got some Thursday night football this week coming up, Webb. We got an NFL game, and then our Tulane Green Wave plays Thursday night too. So let's do the NFL first. We talked a little bit about Jacksonville, and then the Titans come to town.
This is like the toughest division for me, I think. I mean, Titans -1.5 and 39. Jacksonville's way high on that quarterback, the rookie, Mayhew. I guess I think he's from Washington State. Tennessee, who knows? They're just a real solid team, 8-8, 9-7, you know, run the ball, play good defense. I don't have too much of a feel for this. I'd have to check Jacksonville, that the defensive end, is he playing? I guess is my question. If he is, I might lean to the home dog in the division plus the 1.5, maybe, you know, buy it to 2. But I don't have too much of a lean on this at all, unfortunately. So, I mean, if gun to my head, I'd take Jacksonville plus the points.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I'm not a big believer in Jacksonville. Like I said before, I think I think that, you know, there's a chance Marone might be losing his locker room, especially if some guys are on in the Ramsey camp, if they don't have him back on the team. But also at the end of that game last week, he went for 2 and went for the win and didn't make it. Sometimes that can get a team behind you as a head coach, but it can also lose a lot of morale if you had a chance to kick the extra point and go. They handed it to Fournette instead of
But that was a close play, man. I don't fault him too much for that. And Ramsey came out today and was all contrite, saying he wasn't trying to be a distraction. He was pissed off, I guess, on the play. He thought he broke the pass up and he wanted Marone to challenge it, and he didn't do it. I think that's what kind of set it off. For him to lose a team this early, that just means they're done. So I don't know if he did. I'm not disagreeing with you, but I'm not sure. Again, this is just a tough match. But that division is always tough. The lines are always real close, and the total is always real low. So I don't, you know.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. If you like Jags, I'll tell you what I like. I love.
You tell me.
I love Minshew. This dude is the freaking man.
What was he wearing at the press conference?
Well, here's the deal. I don't know if you remember last year at Washington State. He was the quarterback at Washington State. He's the one with the big mustache, the big 70s looking mustache. He's kind of a cut up. I was reading up about him today, right? So he's bounced around a little bit before he got to Washington State. He had a chance to go to Alabama
He's a little bit older.
Yeah, so he had a chance to go to Alabama after like a JUCO stint and everything. And then he went to East Carolina and had a chance to go to Bama. And Leach up there in Washington State said, well, do you want to be a backup in Alabama, or do you want to lead the nation in passing? So that's what he ended up going up there. And yeah, this dude. So I'm reading shit. He does those armband workouts and shit like that. He does them like naked or in a jock strap in a locker room and shit. And then he shows up on the plane. They got pictures of him coming off the plane, and he's wearing like this 1970s pimp looking shit. Looking like Dirk Diggler, you know, from Boogie Nights. So that's one of my favorite movies. So listen, I'm down with Minshew. He had a solid game last week. He had a solid game against Kansas City. Last week, put his team in a chance to win. It might be probably the best quarterback they've had in Jacksonville for quite some time. Obviously, he's young and a lot to be learned, but I'll tell you what, I'll go with Jacksonville. I'm going with Minshew. I like any movies with the 70s music. They got drugs and sex. That's a movie for me. Boogie Nights is one of my favorites. I'm Minshew. We're going Minshew.
Love it.
We'll take the home dog Thursday night. You got any thoughts about the under's probably pretty low.
39.
And it'll be a low scoring game most likely, but I don't know. Both unders have come in on a Thursday night game so far.
I'm sure the league is not happy about that. Let's just stay with Jacks. I mean, if you make me pick one under over, I'll go under. But again,
that's all right. We'll stay with Jacks. We're gonna start off with a Monday night with a Thursday night game and go with the home dog. Sounds good.
So let me ask you. So there's an NFL game obviously every Thursday night from the beginning of the season now, obviously.
Yeah, just about, I believe. Maybe late in the season they might change them to Saturday nights and stuff like that, but.
And this is the first week we're going to have Thursday night college and Friday night college. So actually, they're putting a college game up against the NFL game. Huh? That's interesting.
Yeah, it's just one college game, and it's actually on ESPN Thursday night. It's Houston goes to Tulane. Tulane's favored by 5. Tulane's looked really good this year. You got any thoughts on this one?
This game scares the shit out of me because I love Houston. Love them.
Me too.
Love them. Which just terrifies me. I don't know how. I don't know what I'm missing. Obviously, I'm missing something. It's Tulane plus Tulane minus 5.5 and 56. It may go over too. That may not be a bad bet either. But I love Houston plus the 5.5. Buy it to 6. I'm all over that. But I'm gonna tread a little lightly just because I like it too much. That it terrifies me.
Yeah, I agree totally. I looked at this line and I kind of thought it should be the other way around.
Exactly.
That's how much I thought it was weird.
Exactly.
This might be one of those bookie specials that gets Pete Lips mentioned the bookie special to me the other time, and that's when it looks so good, you don't know how it's good. Look, Tulane's looked very good. They even looked pretty good against Auburn, and that was a nationally televised game. They only lost 24-6, but midway through, you know, two-thirds of the way down, it was really close. Exactly. They didn't cover. Houston, we've been on them last week against Washington State. They held on for the cover. They also – we were on Oklahoma against them a couple weeks ago, and they covered against Oklahoma. Yep. We had Oklahoma, though. But I think Tulane's much improved. They went to a bowl game last year, and they won the bowl game. I think they'll go to a bowl game again this year. I think they're much improved. But I don't think they're ready to lay 5 points to Houston in this spot. I think Houston's 1-2, but they've played two teams in the top 25 already, and really played pretty respectably. You know, I think Houston, as far as
they're legit, as far as the
second level type of teams, they're about as good as they come, and offensively for sure.
Yep.
You know, so I like Houston a lot in this one, and like you said, the only reason I don't would be because it just seems too good to be true.
Yep, 100%. I couldn't agree more. I agree with everything you just said. Absolutely.
Yep. All right. So then we move on. Friday night's got a couple games as well.
There's a couple. What do you think? For you get Utah? Excuse me. Yeah, Utah and USC. 3.5. Utah's minus 3.5 and 50.5. I'm not too sure about the total there. USC didn't really score any points this past week. They got the backup quarterback Flovis, I think his name is, something like that. He's good. He's gonna be good. I said it before. His coach is gone. There's no way he makes it. Past January 10th or whatever the date is. And Utah's good. They're legit too. They're one of those second level teams too. They may end up winning the Pac-10. 3.5 on the road in conference is not. I'm not crazy about it, but I think they cover that for. I think they cover that. I'm comfortable going with Utah. I'm gonna buy it to 3 as well.
Yeah, I love it. I love Utah in this one. Obviously USC is the home dog. That's a little scary, but we like the Utes. They're actually ranked number 10 right now. I just don't think USC has the firepower to do it. They can't even go to BYU and get the win.
Right.
They're playing with a backup quarterback who's looked solid, but Utah is the real deal, and this is a big game in the pack. I like Utah laying just that's not too many points. Not an unreasonable amount of points.
Nope. Right. I agree.
Boise State laying about 8.5 points to Air Force. Air Force knocked us off last week. We had Colorado against Air Force. That game actually went to overtime, but Air Force looked pretty good in that one. You got any thoughts on this one?
I've been going back and forth on this one. We got Boise minus 8 and 55. I'm not touching the over. We had the over for Boise the other night. I think it was last Friday, maybe last Thursday, over 44. They couldn't even get close. I'm going to stay away from the total. I'm not sure. I'm kind of a closet Boise fan. Always kind of have been. I don't know that they can cover 8. Air Force is one of those funky teams. It seems like the military teams are always tough to play and tough to beat soundly. Anyways, it's 9 o'clock on a what else are we going to be doing? I would take Air Force plus the 8 in this one, and then I'm fairly comfortable with that.
All right, that sounds good. I don't have any real strong feelings on this one, so I'll be happy to take the points. I think we need to take more points more often. I'm all about that. So we've got Boise State plus about 8, I think, is that?
It's 8, yep.
Yep. All right, so that's our picks for Thursday and Friday. We got Jacksonville getting a little bit of points against Tennessee. My man Minshew is going to be showing up in a big mustache and a funky.
It's going to be
outfit.
Your Halloween costume,
yep.
Right there.
And then we got Houston plus 5 right here in New Orleans. Utah minus the 3.5. And Boise plus the 8. Air Force.
Correct.
Air Force plus the 8. So that should get us started, man. Hopefully, we just build on this big week we just had. We got our first big winning week. So it's time to really build and get a better feel of who teams are and what teams are at this point.
Yeah, it's getting to the point where you kind of figure out they're kind of show, true colors are starting to show.
Right. Real quick, I want to thank John Grove for the bumper music, iHeartRadio, YouTube, Google Play Music, Podbean, Apple, Spotify, Stitcher. You can get us on Facebook at The Wager Makers Podcast, Twitter at The Wager Makers, Instagram at The Wager Makers, and email us at thewagermakers@gmail.com. You can check out our picks at Sports Watch Monitor. Webb, do you have anything else that we forgot or do you want to add to tonight?
Let's talk suicide real quick before we get off suicide pool. What'd you think of last week? My buddy Mike Belfi had that 2 point against the Texans. He had the Texans, so he was shitting himself basically. I was getting some texts from him, so that was always makes it fun. It seems like once you escape, you kind of get you do pretty well the next couple of weeks. So I think he's got a couple of weeks under his belt here. I forget who I took. The Ravens again, which is a walk, and then
Patriots?
I
went with the Patriots. Brad Bohannon took the Texans as well.
He was texting me late, and he's like,
oh man, this is getting close. I'm looking at this one here. The big loser last week was if you had the Panthers. About 11% of this poll we're in right now had the Panthers last week on Thursday night, so that knocked out a good portion of people. About 17% of the pool had the Texans last week. So that if that would have came off, that would have been a big hit. The biggest hit was the Panthers. Other than that, there was no real big games that turned it over. If looking at this week, I mean, you got to follow the Dolphins, right? You got to follow the Dolphins wherever they go.
I'm going to do something unprecedented, Smith. I have two entries. I'm taking both entries on the Cowboys.
Oh, shit.
Because I did look unprecedented. I'm almost scared.
And
to
you
stay
usually
it.
Try and stay away from your boys when it comes to gambling, exactly, one way or another.
The words right out of my mouth. This is like a double whammy. I don't do this. But I take a look at the Cowboys' schedule. I wouldn't probably use them again either way. So that's my suicide nightmare for this week. I don't know. I'll be sweating until I think it's an early game too. So hopefully it'll be done. You know. Hopefully it's over by 2 o'clock. It's 42-0, like it was last week for them.
Right. What are you I'm looking at the Cowboys. Like I said, I go with the low hanging fruit in this pool.
No doubt.
Later down the road, if I have to pick a team that's laying a couple points or even getting, you know, if I have to pick a winner, I feel like I can always do it. I can always find a winner somewhere. But right now you want to be in one of those last. You know, you want to be the last 10%.
That's a good problem to have. No doubt.
Right.
Yep.
Right. So. Yeah. That's where I go with this on this pool. So I'm going with the Cowboys, no doubt.
There's a couple. I mean, New England, obviously, this week, too. Someone mentioned, Mike Buffett mentioned he might go with the Vikings. That's not bad either. Home against the Raiders. And I think I might have saw maybe one more. Just missing this one now. But that's – so there's a couple decent picks this week, I think, for you. If you don't want to take that low-hanging fruit, you want to kind of roll the dice a little bit. The Vikings may be a decent pick. That's my – oh, I like the Eagles, too. The Eagles at home against the Lions.
Yep. And how about these point spreads, man? You know, this is stuff that we haven't seen almost in our lifetime. It's one thing to have one team that's really, really bad. And you know, it used to be like 17 points was maybe about as high as it goes. We got Dallas right now at about 21 over the Dolphins.
Yep.
And then probably New England's probably favored by a whole bunch over the Jets.
Unbelievable. Two professional teams. I mean, Miami, we talked about Minka Fitzpatrick just got traded. It's one thing to tank in the NBA. You can kind of just pull up and jock some threes and you know, kind of run up and down the court. You're not getting smacked in the mouth. I don't know how the Dolphins are going to win a game. There's no way. I mean, I don't see what's – I don't understand what they're doing, what's going on, how they're going to get past, like, week eight. I think it's 102-10. It was the score combined these first two games. And that's just – it's embarrassing. Ponderous, right. Smith. Ponderous.
Ponderous. That's our word, in case you don't know. That's our word for just bullshit
brick.
That happens with gambling. But we forgot one big story of the week just busted today, the Eli Daniel Jones. We've been kind of talking about that. How do you think that's going to turn out? I think this kid's a big, strong, good-looking quarterback so far in preseason and stuff. We'll see how it turns out. What do you think about that?
I'm not ready to get the Giants any love. That's for damn sure. At this point, I don't know if the kid's going to be good or bad. You don't know. I don't really put too much stock in what he did in the preseason. I know he does have a problem holding on to the ball. He fumbled against the Cowboys in that limited duty he had. But the thing I have to say is you can't go back now. You can't play the kid for 3 weeks, and then if he sucks, pull him and put Eli back in there and then expect his kid to be your guy next year or later on and then put him back in week 15 or something like that. So I think it's a little bit early. I understand it. I get it. There's really no reason not to do it, especially with the way the defense looks. I think their offensive line is the best it's been in quite some time. But the only thing I would say is whether he's going to be good or bad, there's no turning back now for, you know, this year. So maybe and I would be shocked if the Giants would look to move Eli.
Yeah, I think it's he's definitely in there for the duration. I mean, it's time to take, you know, once you make this move, get in there, take your lumps, do whatever you got to do. But I think this kid's got a chance to be a good quarterback. I think he might surprise some people, to be honest. Eli obviously had a solid career. I don't know if he's Hall of Fame material, but he's got two Super Bowl MVPs. That goes a long way.
Okay.
So we'll see how it turns out. You got Big Ben, the kid from Oklahoma State, took over for him. We'll see how that turns out. They got a tough game. They go all the way to San Francisco at 0-2 right now.
Yeah, I mean, they're in a tough spot. Their defense hasn't looked real good either. And they obviously miss Antonio Brown on the outside. I was never the biggest Smith-Schuster fan. I think he's a good, solid 2 or 3, but I don't think he could be a number one. Not like just blanking him and he gets nothing done. And that just exposes Connor. I think he's a solid, you know, definitely a professional running back. But you know, he's no game breaker. They do have a good offensive line. That's what I was maybe telling Casey. Maybe look at their running backs. I would assume they try to run the ball a little bit. But then on the flip side of that is you're just going to look at eight men in the box against San Francisco. And as the Niners are a team, too. We'll kind of find out what they are this week. If they go out and lay an egg and the Rudolph kid beats them, then who knows what's going on with the Niners. But I think Ben Bed said the good send the right thing. I think this could be an opportunity for the Steelers just to see what they have, especially particularly on offense. And then, I mean, I can't disparage. I don't think Tomlin's ever had a losing season. I don't think Ben Ben's ever had a losing season. So it's based on that. You got to give them, you know, the benefit of the doubt here and see what happens.
Right. All right. Well, listen, we're going to get way more into the NFL and college for the weekend on our next show. It'll be out probably late Thursday night. Friday morning, maybe even the day before, might be out late Wednesday night, early Thursday morning. So make sure you give a listen. Listen, we appreciate all the people that have been chiming in on our Facebook, that have been telling friends, you know, Paul Taylor, Carly Ringer, Chad Arnold, Nick Perrone, Chris Garjul, Marty Johnson, John Alfonso, Corey Riley, you guys have been great. Scott Wheatley and Gumbo Greg, the cook right here, Ty Lewis, you guys, we appreciate all your feedback on Facebook, your emails and your messages and everything. We're getting some good razzing going on the Facebook page there, especially when you can make fun of the Jets and Paul Taylor. That's good with us all the time.
So it's always a good time.
We've been sending out some T-shirts to some of these people that have been really chiming in and really helping us out, keeping it going. And so listen, remember, please, if you like the show, if you like the Facebook, if you like the Twitter and all that stuff, please tell some friends. Get it going. Let's get this thing going. So we appreciate it.
Straight from Devin Weber, go to YouTube, hit the thumbs up, like us, subscribe, and hit your little bell for your notifications. YouTube it, baby.
Do it. YouTube it up. YouTube superstars.
All right. That's right. YouTube millionaires. That's right.
All right, Webb. Well, we'll talk to you Wednesday night, Thursday night. We'll have another show in the bag, and we'll get all our picks going for the weekend. So make sure you listen to next week.
All right, Smith.
All right. Thank you, everybody. Take care.